And welcome to AFL Tonight, ArenaFan.com's weekly look at everything arena football. I'm your host, Tim Capper, along with a tired John Stark and an equally, if not more tired, Ben Frontinale. Hello, guys. Get your heads off the pillows.
No, what's up, everyone?
Heads off the pillows. Ben? Ben?
Working on it.
Okay.
Yes?
How are you guys? Ben, I know you're extremely exhausted, but extremely happy. If anybody hadn't seen it, Ben's new 50-yard shorts was just released today. It is called the Empire State. It's absolutely amazing. Yes, I'm biased. I don't care. I still think it's great. I still think it's great work. And Ben takes a sort of a twist or a turn to how he did his other shorts under the 50-yard dash banner.
But yeah, this one was a lot more. I mean, there were interviews. I mean, it was a lot more work, and it almost drove me into the turf. But I'm still alive, and today was absolutely made it all worth it. The team really embraced it and shared it around, and boosted their post. And they, you know, we got tweets from Eddie Brown, and all the players were sharing it, and a lot of fan engagement. And it's really the most reaction I've honestly ever gotten from one of these on the first day. We've just gotten thousands of views in 8 hours or whatever it's been.
Yeah.
And it really does make it all worth it. I mean, it's amazing to watch.
Yeah, and I know since we're leading tonight, the game reviews, we're going to lead tonight with our Albany openers because it's the opener experiences, because it's very possible Ben may have to shuttle off to something. So we just wanted to we needed to have his experiences about this. But I know, John, you too were also involved with Ben this time around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For most of this production, I was by Ben's side.
We were in a Johnny Rockets a few hours before game time, mm-hmm. and we had been hoping to interview Eddie Brown, and I knew that was going to be really the linchpin of the whole documentary, but it was really up in the air,
right.
And we hadn't heard anything about the interview for a couple of days. So I was nervous about that, and we hadn't heard anything, and I really had assumed that it wasn't going to happen. So we were sitting in this Johnny Rockets. We just got there. My phone rings. They say, Eddie's available right now. John and I put, I think, $6 on the table. We run out of the restaurant. We go to the car. We're grabbing all this huge, like, heavy equipment out of the car. We go to his hotel. We meet him in the lobby. It was really, really a surreal experience, and definitely one of the most surreal, like, filmmaking, directing experiences I've ever had. Just rushing up to this really amazing hotel room with Eddie Brown and, like, setting up the equipment as fast as we can. And
right.
And he was, and I'm so glad John was there, because I almost, you know, no one would even believe it if I explained it. But it was wild. I mean, we had the interview with Eddie, and then afterwards we were talking about just the Firebirds days, and he was really opening up and was like really just happy and down for all of it. And then really taking it from there and getting to the game, and his whole introduction with the limousine and the moment that he stepped out of that limousine, mm-hmm. it just made it like 20 times more emotional, given that we had just talked to him about all that and how much mm-hmm. it meant to him. And honestly, like, it was one of those things where you're looking at it in your camera monitor, and I'm sure it was the same way for you, John. Like, you almost can't believe what you're watching. Like, you're there, but you're just getting these goosebumps. Like, I can't even believe I'm recording this right now. Like, this is exactly what we needed.
Oh, no, and I'm sitting there with both eyes open, trying to look down the lens, just not working.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. So I will never forget that experience. And I think it reads in the documentary, because just all that passion that Eddie brought to it and all the emotional resonance that he brought to the piece, because we had several interviews with people who are sort of either new to it, like Coach Keefe, or are more so talking about the old days, mm-hmm. Like Mark McGwire. But Eddie Brown bringing that in with, what is it like to stand on the field right now? And then to see it, it was just amazing.
Right. One question I wanted to ask you, and we'll talk more about our opener experiences, that piece of that specific thing at the end with Eddie, where he's talking about football and family right at the very end, and how he's thanking the fans. Did he break down at the end? Because the way the facial expression I got from him where he bit his lip, almost seemed as if he was about to break down.
Oh, it was such a good moment in the interview. At first, Eddie immediately was very open, sort of emotionally, and explaining what Albany meant to him. And so it was sort of easy to access that. Sometimes in interviews, you have to really work someone to get there.
Yeah.
But he was off the bat. You could just tell this is his life and this is what he wants to talk about. And then toward the end, when he said that, he said, "I just want to thank Albany and I want to tell them that's why I did it so hard. It's because I wanted you to be proud of me." He was definitely cracking there. And it was like, I was just standing. It was another one of those things, standing behind the camera and thinking, oh my God, I'm so glad we're recording this. Like, this is the emotional moment that we need. And it's the perfect final moment in the documentary, I think. And yeah, he was legitimately emotional right then.
It was just stunning. If nobody's seen it, or if you haven't seen it yet, I know it. And I don't think you don't have anything yet with the, because you could point to it directly if you had the URL 50yard-, but I don't think you do yet, right?
I got fraternally.com/50yard- that has all of the productions. So
there we go.
Check that out, or just Google 50yard- and you'll find it.
Perfect. Perfect. So a lot of experiences on all three of our sides, just to imagine just how we got there and then the whole experiences. And for Albany was amazing. That's it, you know, just hearing, being up on the boards during pregame, being there super early as if we were in, you know, and I mentioned this to both of you, that it almost seemed like the atmosphere for an arena bowl.
It almost
seemed that way. I mean, just less media. I mean, you know, at all local media, which is fantastic. I think both newspapers, or three newspapers in the Albany area, TV, CBS Sportsnet, you know, Aerie, and said being there, and it's the ownership group for Albany. I mean, I think one of the things that stood out to me the most, and we'll go around the room here. One things that stood out to me the most, just watching the guys, and it was the Soul specifically when they're doing their warm-ups, their first warm-ups full uniform. I don't remember which player who it was, and I could hear him say to one of the other players, and I knew what they were talking about immediately. He goes, because they were talking about the turf. And he goes, the guy says, "Well, what do you think about the turf?" He goes, "The turf is sticky." The turf is sticky, so I guess either be careful or keep it in mind, because it's what a lot of people need to remember too. This is a brand new turf. I think Aaron mentioned it during the CBS Sports Network broadcast, where he was saying that it's spongy. It's like not necessarily a pillow of air, but it was spongy. It's not like some of the old turfs that you might have had that have been bought eons ago, been used and used and used and used. But for me, I mean, that was one of the first things. What about you guys? I know you guys are so entrenched in what you were doing, but what was your first reaction each, John, you, that may have stood out? First thing that comes to mind besides the stuff with Eddie Brown.
Okay.
Your picture with Eddie Brown, you bastard.
The first thing that stood out was, well, I felt like I had just walked into a town that arena football had been in for the last 10 years. Like, it had never been gone since, you know, the 2000s. Like this was just another big game, another big weekend. It was like it never left.
Okay.
That's how I felt. I totally agree. And I think one of my first big takeaways, besides all the pregame stuff, was once the fans were all packed in, it was just looking around and seeing every single seat filled was unbelievable. I mean, there were times where obviously the game didn't exactly go the way the team wanted, but there were moments where the fans were screaming so loud I couldn't even believe the audio that I was hearing. I mean, it was like there was one like pump up moment or something where they were like, everyone get loud, and it was so loud. I mean, you could really feel the energy in there. Nice. And I really hope that these fans keep coming back and that this wasn't just like a major opening event, because if they can bring that energy, then Albany is just going to solidify itself once again as like a premier arena football city.
Yeah, I was looking at the Ticketmaster seating chart for the next game versus Washington, and so far so good. I mean, they haven't opened up the other sections yet in the corners of the end zones. So far, so good. Most of the lower bowl, I think that will be a constant for Albany, is the lower bowl being packed. I think that'll be a constant. Yeah. It's just a matter of how much of the upper bowl will be utilized. And it seems to be quite a bit. Anything else, guys? I mean, you have an interesting story that you want to tell? I know I have a couple that we will, you know, I know you may not, if you're here or not, Ben, you know, my story with the commish. Amazing. We'll talk about it when we talk about the rules and stuff like that. Running into the commish. Running into, running. Who was there for Eddie Brown? I feel so bad for forgetting about this. It was, who else was there for Eddie besides Valvo?
Greg Hopkins.
Yeah, meeting Greg Hopkins, which I saw play for the first time. I was talking to him and to Ari Wolf. I was like, oh my God, it's Greg Hopkins, man.
Yeah, just, that was amazing.
And just shooting the stuff there while talking to him and whatnot. So, I mean, you guys had seemed to have so much access. Did you guys get to talk to Antonio Brown at all?
We could have, but I think we just sort of wanted to remain in our places, capturing the moment.
Right.
That's my perspective. What about yours, John?
Yeah, I think you're right. It sounds like we did just miss him at the hotel, but you know, we were just so concerned with making sure that the day was documented properly that nice. I think that we looked past that. It still would have been awesome to be able to make that happen, though.
Yeah, and there was one point too, just from like an overall AFL perspective, that John and I were getting ready to go back out when Albany was coming out onto the field, and we're talking to each other, just saying like, "I can't believe we're back here." Like the league, it feels like this offseason had so much crazy, weird drama, and there weren't even any players signed like a month and a half ago. But once we were there, it was like, "Wow, I can't believe we're back here," and it honestly just felt so perfect to be back. And honestly, to see the Soul players again was weird to me, because I feel like it was just yesterday we were at the parade and
the Arena Bowl, right? Yeah
that's true. That's the last time. Yes, the last time we all saw each other. That was, I agree. Yeah. I mean, being there, the block party, perfect.
Yeah.
You know, from that to going into the stadium, running around, going around the bowels. Well, at times, you know, there really aren't really bowels at that arena. It's not like, you know, it's not like the ones in Philly or the one in Tampa. But being able to walk around freely, you know, seeing everybody, saw Dan Rodabaugh before the game while he was warming up. And one thing I did remember, which I totally forgotten about, Ben, and John, I don't think you would notice this as much because I don't think you hadn't been there before, is when I was walking around the concourse during the game trying to get different shots for arena fans, stuff like that, Ben. I was reminded, oh my God, this is how bad it usually is in a concourse when this place is packed.
But it was so packed.
It's a good bad. It's a good bad. I was like, I forgot how it is to get around. And then I forgot that infamous part of the arena where you're thinking that you can do basically a whole U-ey. You're going all the way around. But then you hit that part that's glassed in and you have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, where the hell am I going?
because it was really through.
But the changes they made to this arena were stunning.
Yes. Yeah. It's been upgraded.
Scoreboard outside. They roofed in that area, the common area that used to be open when you used to come into the stadium originally.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And the lighting was great too. Yes. I mean, that's a very niche thing to notice. But
and the new scoreboard.
Yeah, right.
It was extremely well lit. Like when you go to a game in Baltimore, it is stark how different that is.
Oh, really?
It's just so dim. Very John Stark. And just like, Union Center used to be kind of one of those arenas. But now it's so bright. The lighting is great. The whole pregame ceremony, all of that lighting was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That red light they had over everything and the fire was incredible. Yeah, I mean, the whole atmosphere was so well produced.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another one of my big takeaways, I think.
Yeah, my only bad, this actual bad takeaway, and I was asking people who had been there before and talking to Jordan, who's the media guy for the Empire. I was like, why is it so damn cold up here? And I was wearing a cardigan. I was wearing an undershirt because it was cold anyways coming down because the weather in Montreal was just under 30 degrees when we left.
What was it, Celsius?
Celsius? It was -2 Celsius.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, minus two Celsius. So about 28 degrees, give or take. About 28 degrees when we left Montreal. So I'm there, I'm thinking, and it was told to me that because you get an X amount of people in there, you want to make sure you keep the heat down, you keep everybody cool. But I'm thinking, like,
right,
I'm freezing my ass off up here. I was freezing. It's like, I don't want to put on my coat. So
wow.
Now, last thing we talk about here about our, unless there's anything that really stands out, is our trips. All three of us had just wacko trips. Well worth it. I mean, it's funny. It was so worth it that I forget that I was in Albany for an AF2 fire, an AF2 conquest game, or both, I think. I can't remember. And it made me forget that and thinking, this is my return. This is the return for me to this arena in 10 years or more. Ben, tell us about your trip up. Anything out of the ordinary?
Well, I had just gone to Albany twice in the last like week, so I was very much in the mix of feeling that trip. And it's weird that Albany is the exact same distance for me as Philly. So like at this point, that's my standard AFL trip. Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm very lucky. I mean, in a sense, I'm lucky. In another sense, wouldn't it be nice if there was a team as close as John is to DC Baltimore? But
I
can't really complain.
I wouldn't mind a 2-year drive. To me, a 2-hour drive is to Ottawa. I wouldn't mind. Remember, I did the Ottawa trip once to go see an Arena Football League game when they had their one exhibition game there back in the late 90s. I didn't mind that.
Yeah.
2 hours I'll take. 2 hours.
Oh, it's nothing I'm complaining about. I'm just saying.
But you were doing that for pre-production shots, right? Like the stuff you did from Albany and from the sides and stuff like that. Is that
And I interviewed Coach Keefe. I also had interviewed Bo Bell. I wasn't able to get that interview into the actual documentary, but I have some stuff from him that is going to go into my next one, which on Sunday I'm going to be getting together with all the defensive backs on the Soul, and we're going to be going to one of their apartments and doing like a bunch of interviews in a row. Dude. Just about defense in the AFL. So I have stuff from Bo for that. So yeah, it was, all the trips were worth it for sure.
And one thing too, going forward, which we know because you and I talked about this, because I was able to set it up for you. Hopefully for the future, one of the other Albany games, we can get Ari Wolf involved.
Yes, yes. He's just a legendary personality in the league. And I wish we could have got him into this one, but it was just such short notice that the next time.
John, any weird parts of your trip? Ben, did you have any weird parts of your trip up and back? I mean, anything that really stood out?
Oh, I was singing to myself so much. That was pretty weird. And the top was down. It was such a nice day. It was like 80 degrees. Oh. And then it suddenly became 40 degrees, that was my least favorite part of the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That was my least favorite part, too. I mean, Tim, you and I had somewhat of a equal drive in, you know, length of time. Traffic was fine, no issues, but you know, when I left my house, it was 82. I got to Albany, it was in the 40s. We got out of the game and it was 28 when we got out of the game.
It was about the back to where it was when we first went.
Yeah. And then Albany, and then I got home here near Washington around 4 a.m. and it was back up to like 63. And I'm just thinking, like, wow, this is crazy. How high up in the mountains was I?
Yeah,
you all suck.
You know what also used to make these trips easier was listening to AFL Tonight. And now that I'm on the show, it's a little different.
Well, true. There's nothing wrong with listening to yourself.
That's true. It's true. It's just it's a bit different.
Because then you can critique yourself. It's like, damn, why did I say that?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That could be a different experience.
How about the game itself?
Yeah. Oh, well, here, hold on a second. For me, real quickly, me, crazy, 4 hours. Just, we had the same amount of time, basically, John. But for me, I dealt with freezing rain and some snow all the way back up to Montreal.
Mm.
Yeah.
You were slipping and sliding.
No, thank God not. No. The guys that I brought with me, I brought a newbie with me, Cliff. He's a CFL guy through and through, but being able to introduce this game to him was a plus. Also, he was able to write an amazing article. I don't know if you guys read it, but an amazing article for us as a guest columnist for Arena Fan. And then another friend of mine, Fred, he's been to games many a time, but you know, Fred did the driving, but still it was white knuckle. It really was white knuckle. You know, we get up to near Plattsburgh. It's been snowing, and I'm going to give props to the New York State Department of Transportation. They did a phenomenal job in keeping those roads drivable. They really did the entire.
One of the best.
Yeah, we came upon two different trucks. I didn't mind being stopped, slowed by one of them for a couple of times, but man, they helped because
the best and brightest those guys.
It was just the weather, just freezing rain for most of the time, just basically freaked me out. But yeah, to me too. Yeah, I got home. 4:30 ish, and I was just exhausted.
Man. Yep.
Since you started it, John, what did you think about the game?
Sure. Yeah. So my takeaways from the game, Albany's defense, I was impressed that, you know, how they looked on paper, especially at their goal line stands. They looked pretty nice in person. On the offense, looking like when it clicks, it's going to be hot, especially Greg Carr. I'm really liking how he's being utilized. You know, he had that onside kick recovery. And then next play, touchdown, Greg Carr, Colin Taylor, too. Mm-hmm. I'm liking it. I'm liking what I saw from Albany, and Philadelphia is looking like Philadelphia in mid-season form, and we're only at, you know, mid-week one, week two.
Yeah,
bad. Yeah, that was the thing. It when you look at Philly, they do seem like they're in mid-season form, and like we were saying last week, that's one of the advantages of having essentially carried your entire team over to the following year. So. Yep. It was sort of hard to tell what were weaknesses from Albany and what were strengths from Philly. There was a lot of tough things going on in the passing game for Albany, for sure. Mm-hmm. A lot of inaccurate throws, and that's not going to help. But
two picks didn't help either, and they were just bad picks.
No, but and so that was, I think, their biggest weakness by a long shot. And I think that, you know, Albany has potential. We don't know necessarily how well Grady will recover, but I didn't see either team as being like suddenly, oops, like that's going to be a red flag this season. I think that Albany has the weapons to do it. It's really just the Grady factor, as we said last week.
I do too. Yeah, I agree with you. I think for me, what pointed out to me was how the defense seemed to be tired in the second half. They did so well in the first half,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to just have those things just go against them, and to be down by 14 when they could have been tied.
Yeah.
It just, because, you know, with them getting the ball at the end, if they could have done something, they just weren't able to take advantage of having the ball at the end of the first half, having the ball going into the second quarter. They weren't able to really do anything, and I think that's one of the things that stood out to me the most. I mean, everything else, the defense did. I think the defense overall would have gotten, you know, like a B plus or an A minus for me. I think they did really well.
Yeah,
but the problem is when you're going up against. And they did, you know, they were able to exploit Philly's defense a little bit, but I think, you know, them going at all A's, Philadelphia going at all A's for basically the entire game. Radaball was perfect. You know, Darius Prince, what the hell?
Oh yeah,
you know, wow. I mean, you're thinking, right. Oh, the go to money. No, Darius Prince. So it wasn't the outcome I think that Albany fans wanted. I think, by the way, speaking of Albany fans, guys, do not leave with 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Come on. This is arena football. You've had teams come back from down 31 to win. Anything's possible in this league. You just, you know, if you're newbies, I get it. Okay. That's fine. Stay. The kids stayed afterwards. I don't know how much you guys saw that, but the kids coming out on the field and kicking and playing and amazing, amazing. So it's overall, you know, thumbs up. I mean, and obviously, I think the thing that really hurt the Empire the most was the bonehead play on the missed field goal by Philly. Oh, what? I don't know what. I'm sure Coach Keefe will have that rectified, but I don't know. I do not know what the Albany return team was thinking on that play.
It was wild. Adrian Trevino walked up to us before the ensuing kickoff and said to me that he had planned that.
Yeah,
which
right.
I think is
and
really...
I have a photo of Trevino looking very suspicious and
looks suspicious, but I almost believe him. I mean, I know him so well, and he has tricks up his sleeve. I you know, if you can do that. Hey,
well,
you know,
if you can get the thing to go off the bars like that on command, that's amazing. I want to see him try a 4-point drop kick.
Yes, I would love to see that as well.
I mean, hey, I saw some stuff on social media today of Spencer from Albany doing some trick shot kicks and was impressed. So I could easily see Trevino doing something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
They may be so few and far between because as we're seeing with the Arena Football League and how much the game has changed, how much field goals have disappeared from gameplay.
Yeah.
So, in this type of situation, they basically could have called it a 10-point swing. Would it be a 10-point swing? It'd be really whatever it was. Albany, I think at that time with the net recovery, it's just I don't get it.
That was the nail.
I just don't understand the refs not calling it a touchdown immediately either. Going back and watching the broadcast on CBS Sports Network, even Eric's like, that's a touchdown. Said it's a touchdown right away. They had no clue why that they were. It's the rules say ball off the irons or the net recovered as long as there's no KCI, it's a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but I'm happy to have experienced it.
I
want to go back. I will go back a couple times this season. As a reminder, we'll say it now. Do not forget that the Albany Washington game has been postponed until the bye week, which was the bye week in this second weekend in May. So Albany is off this week and Washington is off this week. That's too bad. I wanted Washington was going to unveil their new helmets this week.
Yeah.
We'll see it though. We'll see it. That's the logo nerd in me popping out. how much of the DC Baltimore game did you guys get to see and experience it on the? Which we'll talk a little bit more about Facebook Live. What did you guys think of the return of Nick Davila? What did you think of how well that Randy Hippert did and. For Baltimore, and I think as I said at the beginning, my choice for Arenable, I think this will be a great game this week. This will be a huge test for both Philly and for Baltimore. But
mm-hmm.
what did you guys take away from that game? From what you saw of the game?
Before we get into this, I do have to hop off real quick. I have a meeting with the New York Dragons fan support group. We're meeting again. Albany's back, and maybe we'll come back, but it's been a sad time for us. So I just need to consult my friends.
All right.
It's been an honor being on another week with you guys.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, man. We'll talk to you next week. We know you need some sleep too. Get some sleep, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you soon, guys.
All right,
take it easy.
So what do you think of the Baltimore Washington game? It was interesting. I mean, hey, Baltimore sets a team record for most points in this first half. Hey, they score 34 or 40. Sorry, 40. They broke their old record of 34. What did you think? I mean, it's they outscore Washington 20-7 in the first alone. They led wire to wire just like Philadelphia did. Anything else stick out to you specifically, John?
I think Washington's offense was just starting to work out its kinks in the first half. After that, we saw Davila connect with Rod Windsor several times. And, it was a close game. I thought the fumble early on was pretty costly. It was a 5-point game, very close score. I think I'd even mentioned I thought it was going to be very close when we talked on the last AFL Tonight. And I really saw Davila exploiting Baltimore's defense. Mm-hmm. Overthrowing him specifically to Windsor. It's good to see them back together.
I was about to say it looked as if he had never left.
Yep.
He'd never taken that year off to do coaching for the Arizona Rattlers. Now I think, and I'm trying to look it up now because we were talking about who the practice, here it is, the practice, the status report, and there was an issue. I think was it you who pointed it out to me or something like that about Kendrick Ings getting hurt.
I thought that there was an issue with him, and he said that he had walked it off and he came back into the game. Why did he pop up on the practice report?
No, he didn't. I was wondering because I was trying to watch the game because the stream at the very beginning for Facebook Live was not it was weird. It was showing all four of the options that you had available to you for MSN.
Yep.
But on Facebook, it was showing that, so I missed part of the game. But
yeah, they got that worked out. After maybe 5 or 6 minutes into the game, I think.
Okay.
And then they also had but yeah, back to Kendrick real quick. Yeah. I had spoken to him the day after or the night of, and he said he was fine.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But the Facebook, yeah, I enjoyed watching it on the Facebook AFL Watch. And I also switched over to the Brick House feed to watch Eric Arditi from Barstool Sports. They have a separate feed during the game that's sort of like a hangout that you can watch and chat with them, and they'll talk about the game and explain what's going on if you've never watched arena football before.
Sort of similar to what it was for the ESPN simulcast or whatever they call it is for ESPN, where they have like five or six different feeds during the national championship game and stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Looking at the game, Baltimore looked good. For the first time, I know Shane Carter made him look good, but having Randy Hippard and, you know, their wide receiving core, I mean, not one single wide receiver for Baltimore had more than one touchdown. The only one, and it's funny, there's only one wide receiver this week that had over 100 yards receiving. Which is even weirder. You and I were talking about Quentin Sims. We're wondering where he was, and then he pops up. It makes me wonder. The way that this was being worked for these two is that they needed to see how well these guys would do. Sort of like a preseason game, but not really. Because, I mean, summarily, we could have said this was a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to work these people in. He had to work them in. I think it worked out well. I mean, Windsor ended up, you know, his normal self with three touchdowns.
Sure.
You know, Davila, six touchdowns, but less than 200 yards. I was like, what? That's not Nick Davila. He was the only touchdown. He was the only quarterback this week that had less than 200 yards passing.
Yeah, that's unusual. But then if you look at the stat line, you see that Washington and Baltimore almost had the same amount of first downs.
That's
19 and 20.
That's true, too. Dav also had a rushing touchdown too, so he had 20 yards rushing.
Hippard had the 1 yard run early on as well. That might have been when you missed because of the broadcasting.
Yeah.
Issues.
Yeah. Rory Nixon led the rushing for Baltimore with 26 yards. I know there was a long run. Who had the long run in the Albany game?
Mauia.
Yeah, Mauia had it, and I was trying to look it up because the league record for the longest run in league history is 49. Without looking, I think it's like 48 yards. So having a 37-yard touchdown, I was like, oh man, he's gonna break it.
Yeah, he's gonna get close this year.
He would have been close. Yeah, he would have been close. I mean, that was amazing. Anything else that stood out to you from the Washington Baltimore game? I mean, I think that the crowd was a little disappointing. I don't know why fans in the Baltimore area aren't, you know, they're not being drawn to this. I don't know. Maybe it's because they felt that they've been burned too many times with other indoor football. You've been to Baltimore. You've been there. So, I mean, it's what's your take?
It's, you know, it's a little bit of the city. It's a little bit of, like you said, other indoor football, the leagues, the arenas, a little bit older compared to Capital One down in D.C.
Location? You know,
location. You've got way better concourse and concessions, and you also have the arena football going on during the baseball season, and Camden Yards is right there, less than a half a mile away from Royal Farms.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know, you have fans that are going to pick and choose which game they're going to go to at times.
Okay.
And I've seen on the arena fan boards as well, you know, that some people have difficulty with parking, I believe someone said. And yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of a maze. You just got to, you know your way around the city and maybe use Google or something to find out the best parking locations.
Yeah, lucky with Google now, they're able to tell you in certain places and certain cities of how good parking is from where you're going, which is a great feature to have. I'm just trying to think of anything else that really. The other thing that really, a positive and a negative was from the MSN broadcast, John. The positive, and I don't know if this is unintentional or if it was intentional or not, but that we have, you know, with the MSN broadcast, there's a goal line cam. Holy crap! Something that we've been clamoring for years, and they had the goal line cam. But the problem is, and this is my bad, is how MSN and them choosing their feeds and where they're coming from. Because
yeah, the execution can be off.
Yeah, because you have your goal line cam, you have your ref cam, your ref hat cam, you have the main view that we all know when it comes to watching football from the sideline. It just wasn't done properly, and I think that then switching to another view at the wrong time, especially during a touchdown, or sticking with the goal line cam for a kickoff. I understand it's first game, maybe they want to, you know, get the kinks out. No score bug. I didn't know what the score was half the time.
Yeah, that disappeared after the first half, I think.
I think before that, actually.
Was it? And with the goal line and the ref and all the hat cams, you know, it really is timing and execution, because you're as someone in the control room, you're trying to predict who's going to be receiving the pass. Are they going to pick up the option? You know, are they going to run the ball? So they got to understand that, too. So that's working against them.
It's the second year in, though. I would have thought that if you had any issue that you'd be able to. But again, it's week one.
Sure.
Hopefully things will get better. That's the main thing. Is that they improve, because you know last year they did not do. You know, one of the biggest pluses, and we had it twice in Albany, is the call to the booth for replay.
Right.
And they don't do it right on MSN. They don't give it as much attention. So I'm hoping, as I said, that the production values get better, because especially with, you know, Ted Leonsis and pushing the OTT stuff, we just want it to be broadcast properly so we can enjoy the game. Sure, you can jump cut for a replay or something like that, or something like after the fact, after the game and all the highlight packages, but streamline. You don't need a guy just on the director going, you know, this button, this button, this button, this button.
Sure.
This button. I mean, it's like, stop. I don't know. I don't know. It's that's really it that really just irked me? I want to be able to watch the game. You know, if you're going to have it on this great platform, which we'll talk about in a minute, just get it right. Just get it right. Any other things to take away from DC Baltimore before we go ahead and talk about more that happened?
Takeaways, I'm excited to see them play each other again, actually, because that game being so close, and we're gonna see if the rosters are similar when that time comes too. So the game may be a little bit of a different show.
It's very possible, considering with that. I love them sometimes. The tweets from Coffee Jones talking about there could be some two big name all arena wide receivers coming into the Arena League. It's just a matter of who and where. If you don't know what I'm talking about, hit the Twitter. You'll see it. We like it.
I know the one.
Yeah, you know the one. Real quickly, there weren't any major ones in the DC Baltimore game, but what about the possible significant injuries that we saw in the Philadelphia Albany game? Tommy Grady and Darius Money Reynolds. Of all of them, you know, being there live, the Money Reynolds one to me was the most concerning.
It was the most concerning, most definitely. It was when the boards play a factor, you know, that worries me. And when you've got it being sort of near the spinal cord, you know, spine area, I'm not too happy about it. I don't think you are either.
No, and I saw it too. And the problem is, when it comes to some of these hits, you don't think that they're that bad, but then they actually being worse than they are, because it really didn't look that bad until he actually went down, took off his helmet. And I was thinking, oh, don't tell me we're going to have another Ryan Shazier thing here, man.
Mm.
You don't wish that upon anybody. But you wondered whether it was a concussion, whether it was a stinger, whether it was some sort of other trauma. Luckily and thankfully, you know, we were given updates continuously by the CBS Sports Network broadcast group. And by the end of the thing, we were able to see that Darius was sitting on the sidelines. Standing on the sidelines.
Yeah, I saw him near the tunnel.
Yeah, in civvies. And, Aries said that, at one point he said that he was getting pains on the spinal column. I think, oh, crap. That didn't sound good. But then that he said that he was better. And I we'll talk about this in a little bit. I questioned that after seeing the practice reports this past 2 days. But then Tommy Grady goes down. And I really wasn't able to see, because it wasn't really in the broadcast. I really couldn't see, or they didn't have the angle of what happened. But it looked like something to do with the lower knee, right?
Right. So I was in the end zone with Ben on the side that the team came out of four intros.
Okay.
And we had a pretty decent view, and he was knocked down, and he tried to get up and walk it off, but he wasn't putting pressure on it. And I heard later on that it was some sort of contusion. Yeah. So, you know, a really bad, bad bruising. I don't know. I haven't seen the practice reports, and you're talking about them. So what's going on with that?
No, the only thing with the practice reports that we've seen is obviously with Albany off this week, we're not going to see anything because they're not practicing.
Sure.
The only thing is with Money Reynolds. Money has not been.
Okay.
He hasn't been he hasn't practiced for the last 2 days. So that's why I was saying, is this just a precaution that they're keeping him out of practice? You know, I'm sure Coach Delzell knows. I mean, money's money. You know, it's the same thing. SK was not practicing today either. So I mean, is it worse than it actually is? Did he have some reoccurrence? Did he end up having some? I don't know. Did he have some concussion symptoms? I don't know. We've seen this happen where a guy can have a concussion. Nothing's wrong with him. And we'll give Sidney Crosby as the best example, where you seem to be okay, but then you get the lingering effects after the fact. So it just makes me wonder, will Money be playing this week? And, you know, having Darius Prince in the lineup, I don't think it'll matter. It won't, you know, they'll just bring somebody else in, which they did when Darius went out. So I don't, we'll see. You know, I'm sure Coach Dozell knows what he's doing. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to, if something's wrong, he'll set them out.
He will.
We'll see what happens tomorrow also.
Yes.
That's the thing. So
some more practicing.
Yeah. And Grady, I agree with you. I saw him. He was holding the lower knee, it wasn't the lower knee, but it was right below the knee.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? A plus is we got to see Fulfill come in, and he had an arm.
Yeah, he did.
He had an arm on him. I mean, the first pass of his, he missed the receiver, but the way it went off the netting apparatus, it just came off like a shot. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a reason they hung on to him after training camp.
Oh, you can't have just one quarterback. We all know.
Oh, I know
but,
that.
But I think
they had other options.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he was the best. Well, I think he, remember, with John, in the Arena League, yes, we love having all these guys and all these vets. But, you know, we need to find the next Shane Carden, et cetera, et cetera.
Of course.
So especially if new teams are going to be coming into the league. We need to have some new quarterbacks, some somewhat experienced quarterbacks. So we were talking about it before. What did you think about Facebook Live? Now, I remember when the league put out the press release, they were stating that, you know, you would be able to watch the game on the league website worldwide, which is true. It was perfect. If you watched it on, I checked it out not only on the league website, but also on my mobile phone, and luckily enough, John, it was available in Canada to me.
Great.
So I did not have to worry about, you know, watching it if it was watching on the league site or wherever. I still got to see the game, but I also got to be in the experience of having all that's one of the weird things I got to get used to, having all the comments going on the side while the game's going on, whether it be on your mobile device or there at the bottom, even though you could swipe away.
Yeah, swipe away.
Yes,
definitely swipe away.
Swipe left. So, what was your take? I mean, I know we joked last week, but there's been so many different ways that the league has been broadcast online these days that this was unique. It was on par with Twitter, in my opinion.
Same.
I don't know as far as when it came to viewers. I still think that Twitter, I think, would be the better one until this gets a little bit more traction, because people have to remember that you have to be signed in to Facebook in order to watch it. With, unlike Twitter, you can just go to the page in your browser and you can watch it with no problem. So what was your takeaway? I mean, besides, as I said, besides what we mentioned from the MSN broadcast earlier.
It was reliable. I had no issues with it. I was happy with it, and I'm excited to watch the next game on it. And I think I may choose that as my choice platform over the Arena Football League's website, and maybe even over MSN. It's depending on what they have to offer, and I'll have to see what's going to be available in terms of watching the Brick House, if that'll be on Facebook again, or if that's going to be restricted to MSN for future broadcasts.
Yeah, what was that? Because I didn't see any of that, because to me, not having MSN, they didn't promote it at all.
No, it was not. It was not very well promoted, and I'd like to see better promotion for it going forward. I don't know if they're going to have it for away games or for games that aren't on MSN. For instance, you know, this weekend's game is on CBS, so I'm not sure if they'll have that available. But I was able to access it through Facebook and the Monumental Sports Network page, Yep. And it was just, like I was saying, Eric Arditi and Barstool Banks, and they were hanging out in like a lounge type area with a big projector, and they had computers, and they were answering questions and playing games and interacting with people on Facebook, watching the game, explaining things to people. Like I said earlier, if they hadn't watched arena football before, you know, commenting on it, trash talking. It was actually kind of fun and engaging to watch.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that. You know, it's not like the like NBC Sports, the NBC where you can go and you just click something and it switches it. And I understand that there's different platforms. It's too bad that they can't integrate this into one centralized location where if you just want to watch the hat cam and get dizzy.
Yeah.
You know. maybe it's coming down the line. Who knows? Who knows? As I said, this OTT stuff seems to be huge. So it's I liked it. As I said, to me, the huge plus is that it was available in North America, everywhere in North America. I think that's the plus. At least in the U.S. and Canada. That I know. So that was a plus. I really didn't see anything wrong with it. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was on, as I said, on par with Twitter. No glitches. You know, that's the main thing. The broadcast came through with what, you know, how the broadcast was flawlessly. So, and the plus is that if anybody didn't know, I don't know how long it's going to be kept this way. It's archived.
Right, you can rewatch the game.
Yeah, it's archived over on their on the same page, on the AFL Watch page. So if you happen to miss the game, go there. So that's the plus thing. So what we had a new league sponsor this week, and it's a plus. But man, being as old as I am, and there's an old saying, but I'm like, man, this could be positive, but yet I don't. I'm happy for it. I looked at them. The league became a partner with Shinola Watches. I think they make more than just watches, though. But they're the very high end, high brand. They look really nice. They're expensive, though. I know you. Sometimes, John, you have to spend some money in order to get to get something nice. But to me, I don't know what the difference is between my $200 perpetual motion Swatch watch that I have and their $600+ watches. I don't know what the difference is. I'd never heard of them. Had you heard of Shinola before?
No, I haven't. And what's interesting is I am a little bit of a watch guy myself. I have a collection of Invicta and some other brands that people may have never heard of, but I've never heard of Shinola before.
Okay. It's like the other company, Movement. That they're very big right now also, MVMT.
Mm-hmm.
They're very big too, but yeah, I'd never heard of this. But we did learn that the Shinola brand will be a presenting sponsor of Play of the Week,
Timeless Play of the Week.
Yeah, Timeless Play of the Week of the year end awards. I have to go back and check out the press release. Way to be on top of things, Capper. they're gonna sponsor the final minute in-game feature of all AFL games. That's funny. Final minute. I got a lot more to talk about that in a couple of minutes. presenting sponsor of both the AFL Championship Awards presentation and the Most Valuable Player Award at the AFL League Awards. Be featured on the AFL website for the duration of the season. Be featured on the referee jersey patch league-wide. Interesting. And as you mentioned before, there's the Shinola Timeless Moment Player of the Week. And I thought they would have announced it already. It's Wednesday already. I thought they would have announced it.
Maybe we're not on top of things.
Or haven't gotten the PR yet.
There you go.
So, hey, all the best. I mean, it's good to get some more sponsors. You know, getting, you know, the huge one, as we found out last week, was DraftKings and all at Facebook and et cetera, et cetera. you know, if they're coming in as presenting sponsors. By the way, I happen to notice, and I don't know if this is just an MSN thing or a Monumental thing, but for Washington, there still is Geico on the boards. And if I remember Baltimore. Mm. There was Geico still on the dashboard boards.
You know, I'm not sure if that is part of a Royal Farms Arena advertising requirement or what. That. Yeah, that might be up there for that arena specifically.
Okay. Okay, because I was like, I
don't quote me on that though. Okay. I have a feeling.
I was about to say, Jackson, if you happen to be listening, give us the deets. Let us know. Okay, and it's bad that Ben. I really wanted Ben to be a part of this, but I understand he had to go. Something popped up. Rule changes, John.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah. First thing, okay. I'm not so big. First thing that I have a beef with, though, is the league not putting out a main press release and letting us know. Yes, there. I understand there's only two of them. There's only two major ones this season. One being that the universal clock is now going from a 30-second universal clock that was just changed last year to a 35-second clock. Okay. It's no big deal. Big one, though. Oh, man. All of the rules that made the last minute... And really of the second half, because yes, it was still involved in the first half, but of the second half are gone. No longer does the team that is currently leading in the last minute of the game and has the ball, no longer do they have to gain positive yards. They can do the dreaded kneel down, which I never thought I'd say for the Arena Football League. Go ahead.
It changes the strategy the second half, if not more, of the game. You have to be thinking about this going into the night or the day, whatever time the game is.
Yeah, and it also it's now puts a lot more emphasis not only on replay because of timeouts. Now you got to think about how many timeouts are you going to – are you willing to possibly use that one timeout, to lose that one timeout if you're down, saving less than 5 minutes in the game? A lot more variables now. But I agree with you. I think it takes away the strategy a hell of a lot.
It does. It changes the game and how it was put together many years ago.
Yeah. And I was lucky enough. I ran into the commissioner when we were in Albany. And I wanted to get into his ear specifically about this. And I'm also trying to, if possible, to do some research myself. So we will revisit this. I'm trying to do some research myself to try to find out. And we'll see if this is possible. Try to find out how many plays have been run where a team that was leading in the second half, is leading with under a minute to go, has the ball, how many times they've been stopped. I'm curious. I said, I'm trying to do some research on that, and I will get back to everybody about that.
That would be a lot of box scores.
I'm curious. Maybe we can just go over the past, two or three years, just to get a sample.
See if there's a percentage to look at.
See if it's really worth it, because is this time factor really necessary? You know, the first game itself, and that's the big thing that the commissioner stressed to me. You know, it's about time. They want to try to pull the games back. And I remember them saying, between 2 hours and, between 2 hours and 2 hours and 30 minutes. I'm thinking, how are you going to pull this game back? How much do you have to cut in order to get this game to end after 2 hours or at 2 hours?
Yeah, I think 2.5 is more realistic.
And that's exactly what the Baltimore DC game was. I was like, yes, this is a 2.5 hour game. That's what it was. The Albany game, Philadelphia game went longer, but I think you can also say you include it because of halftime.
The way the broadcast is handled.
I was just about to say that too, because because when I think of MSN and I think of CBS Sports Network, okay, CBS Sports Network is the more traditional broadcast network.
Yes.
MSN is not. MSN does not have to worry so much about commercial breaks, unless you have radio. But you can just go 30 seconds or a minute.
So often that's when you have on-field entertainment.
Yeah, which is an integral part of any whether it be NBA, whether it be hockey or whatever. Yeah, that's you need that type of thing. But the commissioner said to me that they're looking – if they have to, they will make modifications to other rules too. That's what he mentioned to me, and I'm thinking – and I said to him, I want to hear what you're saying, commissioner. But as an old school AFLer, I'm trying to keep an open mind and see where you're coming from. You know, I may not agree with it, but I think there needs to be some sort of feedback. You know, I'm sure bringing in other networks, do you think you would bring in more networks if they were to go just 2 hours? I don't know. Maybe. Because then they could just set one block of 2.5 hours. Pre-game. Pre-game.
Sure.
And pre-game and then post. You know, that, when he said that, it worried me, John, because it kind of reminded me, it's funny, it's just, you know, they're back in the news again too. It reminded me of the XFL and the modifications of the rules that they had in season for their one and only season. Sure, it made the game cool, but these rules are slightly different. The commissioner made a suggestion of something which I actually kind of agree with. Get away with the stick with traditional timing rules for the first half. Okay.
Okay.
Don't worry about the 1 minute warning and everything after that. The rules after that. I mean, you still have the 1 minute warning, but the timing rules would still be in effect. But keep the rules for the second half so you can have the strategy. Because if that's the case, you're not going to see any more of these teams being able to come back if you happen to stop a team. You're out of timeouts and you're down. You're done if you give up the ball. You'll be done.
Yeah, I think great examples of this would be Friday night's game. DC and Baltimore could have taken advantage of the old rule, and the Albany game over Saturday night, you know, that lead, that score was a little bit too far apart, I think, personally, to take advantage of the old school one minute timing rule there at the end of the game.
And I agree with you. I agree that's a very good example showing that where the rules could have worked out in DC's favor. But man, yep. it's just, you know, I would have missed it because I've gotten my eyeballs on the 2018 rule book, and it's just gone. It's just the one paragraph that if anybody has the rule book, the 2017 rule book, you know, they talk about what happens for that particular portion of the game, and 1 minute what happens, and then the big paragraph that's below it, it's just gone. It's just been highlighted and deleted. It's gone.
I was just gonna say that
it's just gone. And again, it's, you know, a lot of the newbies may not know this. In Albany, they don't know this. You know, hearing said Bonner on the CBS broadcast saying that he doesn't like that rule. He actually said, "I cannot get used to them just kneeling down the ball with under 1 minute."
Yeah, I can't either.
Because he's so old school. He's lived through the original rules. Same thing with Harry. So it's what do you guys think about that? We have the front page poll over at Arena Fan. A lot of people, it's gone very negative. A lot of people have spoken out on social media overall since we, you know, and again it was just announced. That's the other thing that irked me, as I mentioned before. It was just announced on a graphic on the MSN broadcast. If it hadn't been announced on the broadcast, we wouldn't have known. So, I mean, I just implore the league, if possible, just let fans know. It's not about transparency. Just let any updates, especially to the rule book of this magnitude, of any rule being changed, modified, you need to let us know. We want to understand the game. We want to be able to follow the game properly. If we had not, can you imagine what we would have thought, John, if we had seen this?
especially in Albany.
Well, no. Them kneeling in the first game of the Baltimore game are like, what the hell's going on? And they hadn't announced the rule changes. Mm. We would have been like, what? What the hell's going on? So I'm hoping that this is a 1 year. I said, bring back the second half rules. I would love that. I don't know how much time you can actually cut. I mean, modifications to what else? The penalties? One universal penalty? Possible. I don't know what else other changes they. I mean, John, what other changes can they make to this game to shorten it besides reducing the quarters to NBA style 12 minutes?
I don't see much, because when you watch what goes on the field for players, for timeouts, for the broadcast crew, for the dance crew, for the hype crew, for just everything that goes into the game and the actual play on the field with the players, I don't know how you're going to reduce this any farther. Yeah. You're going to have to start making some major changes to the game itself and to the rule book.
I would
like you said, 12 minute quarters.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how else to change this game. I mean, sure, 12 minute quarters, you're cutting off 12 minutes. Okay, there's. I mean, but what will that do to scoring? You know,
cut down scoring.
I'm imploring to the commissioner and to the exec and to the rules committee. Bring back the rules for the second half, the 1 minute timing rules for the second half. I'd be fine with them eliminating them completely as they are now for the first half, because there's really no difference for the first half is, and second half are completely different. And it's just completely changed.
Hey, John, times are changing, Tim. What's up?
I said, I'm such a purist.
That's true. You've said that almost every week since the season.
Yeah. We have questions, John. We have questions from the fans. Thank you, guys. We appreciate them. We're not going to read them. No, I'm just kidding. We do have questions. Okay. This one is from Sean Johnson. If you remember from him last year, John, that he did, Jim and I did a segment, a good, bad, and ugly segment, which first Sean wants us to bring back.
I am so down for that.
Okay. Then you know what? We will work that in. Sean, you've convinced us.
Ben, you hear that?
Yeah. Good, bad, ugly. And it could be, you know, as my bad, they weren't necessarily bad. They were bad. That type of bad. So the Michael Jackson bad.
Right.
Yeah. So his good, bad, and ugly this week are. So his good is Albany supporting, Albany, I guess the city, for supporting the new team with the sellout. I agree. His Michael Jackson bad. His bad is Brandon Tompkins seemed to be playing in a whole other gear than everyone else all game.
Oh, I am with that.
Yeah, and his his return yards showed that. That's true. I will give you a thumbs up on that one too. His ugly, Colin Taylor taking the ball off the net on kickoffs and then clearly not wanting to be there. He goes, they have to have a better option in Albany because that was ugly. I thought it was weird with him doing kick returns.
You know, I did too, but I don't know if it was necessarily CT. He was getting swallowed up, and they had the Soul had Poppy Livers on kick returns most of the game, and he was getting swallowed up too. I think both defenses were just the kick, they were just trying to hammer it in.
Yeah, I think, as I said, if you're not a natural receiver. It's like the old John Elway ad for the AFL and NBC, having to watch the ball. You know, you got to make sure that the ball is coming off the net and how it's coming off the net. You got to get used to that type of thing. And he got weird bounces. We saw it in the first game. We saw it in the DC game, the bar ball, you know, reared its head. But I guess it's a matter of maybe, you know, Coach Keefe has an idea for something. As I said, it was summarily a preseason game. So maybe he's going to try somebody else. Because Colin was able to get into the game as a wide receiver, and he did quite well.
He did. It was preseason week one, both teams, or all four teams, rather, both games.
Yeah. So thanks, Sean. His main question, though, John, was what surprised us the most in each opening game of the season?
Go ahead.
Cal, I think how much, as I said at the beginning of the show, how much more improved Baltimore looks having I don't want to say a real quarterback, because I like Shane Carden, but. But having this all-star group of quarterbacks this year, play was better. It didn't look. I don't think it looked sloppy.
No, and it wasn't sluggish either.
Yeah, it wasn't sluggish either. And just I think the scores showed that. What else would I say? What surprised me the most? I said it before too. I think the fan support in Baltimore. I know they announced 5-3.
I think
they announced 5-3, even though it didn't look that.
Yeah, it looked a little less than that.
So I hope it improves better.
And the weather in the Mid-Atlantic here has been really...
It's been nuts. Yeah, the whole Northeast, yeah. Man, what the hell?
And I'm not even talking about snow, just the drastic temperature changes, the rain. Mm-hmm. We did have the Nor'easters, the cold. Yeah, it's been something else. Yeah.
It's supposed to be better starting next week.
Yes!
I'm happy when we get above close to 60 degrees. That's when it starts. That's not short weather. Well, maybe for some of Montreal, it's short weather. But thanks, Sean, for the question. And yes, we think we will bring back the good, bad, and the ugly. We'll work it into the show. Second comments and questions comes from Noel Jason. Noel Jason, he says he enjoys listening to the show. He wants our opinions and thoughts on a couple of things. We just mentioned, the new knee down rule. We just mentioned it. not a fan.
Yeah, not the best. Let's hope for better.
Yeah, and like him, he wasn't aware of the rule change until he heard it on both broadcasts. I know Sed just mentioned it in passing with the graphic on MSN. Secondly, the new playoff format. I think we touched on this a little bit. He likes it that the league is doing something different, but he doesn't like the format. This is his explanation. What he does like is that each team is guaranteed a home playoff game. What he doesn't like is the fact that a team could lose a game and then still advance to the Arena Bowl with a tie-breaking aggregate points rule. I mean, it's fair. This rule change, John, I think is one of the most, I don't want to say controversial, but most talked about thing next to the elimination of the one-minute timing rules.
And, you know, it is a little bit different. And I think it may be more exciting as the league grows and we see more teams come on board. But I think it adds a factor of frustration where you could have your team, you know, maybe be the clear shot to move on, and then the following playoff game they just get completely dominated, and you know the underdog ends up walking away, moving on.
As I mentioned last week, I have a best case scenario. I would love to see it happen. For all we know, this is going to be a one off. This will be like the CFL's one off, and when they brought it back in '86. Just because of how many teams that they had. It could easily just be a one-off, and we'll be back to the normal playoff rules, rules that we've had in years past. So we may not have anything really to worry about, but we'll see. Thanks, Noel. Write us anytime, and we're more than happy to answer your question. So if you want to send us a question, there are multiple ways to do so, but probably the best way to do it is to send me an email directly at tim.capper@arenafan.com. If you have any questions for either Ben or for John, you can do it the same way, and I'll make sure that I forward it to them. Do not forget that Arena Fan is also on a multitude of places on social media. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on SoundCloud. I keep forgetting SoundCloud. We are on SoundCloud. That's where our archives are.
My favorite.
Yep. We are also on iTunes. What do they call it now? iTunes podcast. What do they call that now?
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. We are also on Google Play Music. And everything for our social media, it's all /ArenaFan. Even on Instagram, which we didn't utilize this week, but we did utilize a Facebook video for the first time. I think it's the first time we've ever used Facebook video. So again, any questions, comments, concerns, just let us know. So, John, there was supposed to be two games this week until it was announced because of a conflict between NBA and NHL in DC, and it looked like it's going to happen anyways now because hey, the Capitals won a game. that there is only going to be one game this week. It is going to be the Philadelphia opener, where I think they're going to unveil because they just gave away their rings today. By the way, if anybody hasn't seen them, check out what these rings look like, man. Head over to the Philadelphia Soul Twitter page. Bling, bling, man.
Yeah, they're icy. They are. They're nice.
But so we only have one game. It is the Philadelphia home opener versus the Baltimore Brigade. So you're going. This game is going to be a matchup, John, between the same two quarterbacks that met in the Arena Bowl back in Philadelphia back in last August.
Yep.
Hippard versus Radabaugh. By the way, speaking of quickly of Dan Radabaugh, one thing we did, we're leaving it to the last, like we were delayed in doing it over social media. Congrats. Congratulations to Dan Radabaugh on becoming the ninth player, John, in AFL history to join the 700 club for career touchdowns.
Congrats, Dan.
That's crazy.
That is. That's quite a milestone. That's an accomplishment for sure.
Well, it's okay, Dan. You're only 500 touchdowns away from catching Aaron Garcia. Anything's possible. Mark Lewis is still playing. T.T. Tolliver is still playing. Anything's possible. So we get the home opener. And you know, I remember how last week that I wasn't, you know, with the lines and stuff like that, because I know the league is pushing it really now with the new Vegas Sports. Help me, Vegas Sports.
Sports and Information Network. Yeah, VSiN. Yep. Yeah,
they're pushing some stuff and giving having a thing every week on the league website. I noticed actually what was funny, John, is how well it mimicked what the lines that were basically in that were out there on for most game books. But for us, we are looking at five dimes like we normally do. Philadelphia, John, is favored by 12.5 points. Now, I guess it was okay for last week's game.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, are they basing this? What are they basing this off of? Just how bad Baltimore was last year? To me, there's a little bit more of a bigger variable, especially with having these all-star teams and having Randy Hippert under center. I think 12.5 over under of 108 points.
Sure. And then I saw the VSiN over under and, you know, the Philly favor as well is even higher than that. So, yeah, it must be based off of Baltimore and their performance last year, you know, the overall record and their scores in games. But, you know, we see this team, this Baltimore team. We've got a lot of the Tampa Bay Storm players coming into Philly in Baltimore uniforms. And you've got Baltimore who played Philadelphia in the playoffs last year. So you've got a capable team going into this weekend.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. VSiN, 20.5 points. Are they nuts? No way.
Hey, that could just be based off of what Philly just did to Albany over the weekend.
That don't mean diddly-do. Come on, not in sports betting. If that had been the case, then it would have been higher. It would have been higher. 12.5 points. And it's funny, I mentioned to you, both you and Ben, pregame, a pre-show, I think it's too high. Being how well Baltimore performed last week and how they really seem to be gelling and how much it is a different team than it was, I think the 12.5 points is high.
Sure. So do, and I told you the same earlier. I was thinking around 7 points, and I called that under 108. It's going to be a very close game.
Trying to see what Massey has for their ratings, because if you remember, Massey had the 13 points. I think that's what it ended up being last week after the fact. The game. Massey has theirs based on what they had. They have it at 16.5. So it's very possible it would be 16. Maybe, depending on how the betting goes, it may get up to 16.5.
All right.
I still think that's high.
I'm with you, Tim.
They had Washington. By the way, they didn't pull it. But Massey had Washington saying that they were a 20.5 point favorite. No way. There's no way. Maybe they're pulling it from that game. Come on, VSiN guys. Come on. You looked at the wrong Massey ratings. And the over-under for that game was only 77 points. Are they nuts? They got to be looking at last year's games. There's no way.
Yeah, you know, it's preseason, like you said.
Variables, what do you see the variables being for this? For Baltimore to win or to lose or Philadelphia? I mean, Philadelphia looked good. We know Philadelphia looked good. Do you think that Philadelphia could go a game without money being on the field?
I do.
And still win?
I do. You know, he was isolated and not featured in this game this last weekend, and, you know, they still outperformed Albany.
I think it's obviously because they went to Darius Prince.
Sure, but now he's going to be shadowed heavily. After 3 touchdowns, I would shadow him.
Yeah. By the way, it was Aaron Washa. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right.
I think it's Washa.
Okay, yeah. Aaron Washa came in for money. So
he did. Yep. Yeah,
and if, I would be. You know what? If he doesn't, you know, if money doesn't play for whatever reason, it should be fine because SK did well, Prince did well, Baltimore. Anything out of the ordinary for them? I mean, again, you have a great wide receiving core for Baltimore. You have a great quarterback. And the way Hippert was throwing, as I said, 6 different receivers caught a pass last week for Baltimore.
spreading the ball around. Oh, and wait, who came over the waiver wire just recently that was assigned to Baltimore that he puts his feet on the ground?
I wonder who that was. I know I just put it up. A perennial, well-known fullback, Michael frickin' Benson, man.
Is headed to Baltimore.
Yep, on the roster.
So that's a factor. You know, you could have him and Rory Nixon. Man.
So it gives them a different threat. Because, Albany used the run quite effectively.
They did.
So it makes me, we'll see what Coach Smith is going to pull. What he's going to try to use to their advantage. And if Baltimore could pull off the upset and beat Philadelphia on the day that they're unveiling their banner, it's sort of similar to what Albany did, if you think about it. Because Albany, retired and put down both banners with their 99 championship banner and the retirement number for Eddie Brown. Baltimore could do the same. And it's funny. So many different. Hey, it's funny. All white. It's like they're all white. Uniforms for Philadelphia. I'm really grasping at straws here. All white, and then Baltimore wears all white, including white helmets.
Sure.
So, yes, I'm grasping. I think it'll be a game. The game will be on Saturday on CBS Sports Network. Remember, that is the only game this week.
7 p.m. Actually, Ben and I will be there.
That's right.
Yep. We're working on some more stuff for Arena Fan and the 50-yard shorts film series. Nice.
So, again, wow, we have... I knew this was going to be a big show. I can just imagine Ben had stayed, how much longer this
Ben,
would have been.
Ben might have fallen asleep.
He might have. Poor dude. The life of a director. The life of a director. Hey, you know what? All I can say is I'm happy that I didn't mention this before. I only had a minor eeny beady teeny teeny weeny part in the in Ben's film with a picture, and I got my name in lights.
You did.
I got my name in lights. I thought it was pretty cool. I was glad I was able to use it, but
it worked out well.
Yeah,
those photos that you provided were fantastic for some nostalgia.
Yeah. And again, if you hadn't seen it, head over to fraternalefilms.com/ I feel bad. I should know this off the top of my head. 50-yard dash.
Oh yeah, or you can Google 50-yard dash, yep. And 50-yard dash on Instagram, and Fraternale on
Vimeo,
Twitter.
Sorry,
and
Vimeo. Yeah. So we'll be back next week. We have a lot more to talk about, and I hope just as much as this week, because we love talking about the Arena Football League. Again, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email me at tim.capper@arenafan.com, and we will try to answer your questions as best as possible. And if questions go to the guys, I'll make sure they forward them off to the guys. So John, I will talk to you during the week. If they charge us for the amount of times that we talk on Facebook Messenger, we'd be poor.
Thank goodness there's no such thing as long distance.
Yeah. Or that Facebook starts charging.
There you go.
No, Mark Zuckerberg, you don't need any more money. Don't start charging us, please. They don't have to go to Skype. But that Skype's okay too. So for everybody here at AFL Tonight, for previously your Ben, for John, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the net.